It's a Labor Day edition of Pittsburgh Pop, even though we're on the holiday. Rob and I are working because there's certainly lots to talk about when it comes to sports media, television media, entertainment across the board. You got strikes on one end for entertainment. You've got mergers and splits when it comes to sports media in Pittsburgh and in sports across the board. It is a very complicated time. And all this as we get ready for the start of the NFL season, which always bumps up viewership, especially for the networks. So plenty on the plate. Rob, you can read him twice a week, TV Talk, TV Q&A at Trib Live. And you can also read him whenever anything major breaks in the world of entertainment and broadcast media. So he's had a lot to write about of late. Read me daily, Breakfast with Benz at Trib Live. We'll have a full slate back up tomorrow, sort of a partial day today, what with the holiday, but we still have Madden Monday posted and it just got done doing Madden Benz Unfiltered. So it's a busy start to September. And Rob, let's start with the big news from this past week. You wrote about it. I wrote about it in various forms. And that is the AT&T Sportsnet sale to Fenway Sports Group. It's now just going to be called Sportsnet, which is pretty generic. I figured they'd just go with FSG TV.
Here's my thinking. They're going with Sportsnet Pittsburgh, and perhaps that is in advance of having a Sportsnet fill in the city. I don't know. That is the thought that I had, that they want to establish Sportsnet city name as a brand that they could apply elsewhere. But that's just a guess.
I thought it was just going to be FSG TV, and they put their name on it because they're putting their ownership to so many different outlets when it comes to sports. They didn't work out a deal, or a deal has yet to be worked out. If there is one in the future, I'll be surprised, but it certainly doesn't sound like they're going in this direction to have any sort of partnership with the Pirates, which means for the first time in a long time, you're going to see the Pirates and the Penguins on different outlets. And where it comes down to right now, and all things being equal, maybe you can fill in some of the blanks for me on this, Rob, but all things being equal, the dissemination of how people consume watching the Penguins on television isn't going to change all that much, correct?
No, not at all. It'll be exactly the same. It'll just be the name of the channel will change, but the channel position on your cable systems, what is now AT&T Sportsnet, will in the future be Sportsnet Pittsburgh. And
what about Dish? What about on satellite? Will it be distributed the same way there too?
All the current carriage agreements will hold, but if it's not carried currently, such as Dish, then you're not going to get it because Dish is not going to change their position on regional sports networks just because of this sale. So if you get it now, you will continue to get it. If you don't get it now, you will continue to not get it when the name changes October 2nd.
And the name change, what does that mean for the broadcast change regarding personnel? We've talked about the play-by-play guys a bit already in various forms. Looks like Bob Airey and Steve Mears are no longer going to be on the play-by-play for the Penguins. From what Mark Madden has said, just said it again on our Madden Benz Unfiltered show, Josh Getzoff is likely to move from the radio booth to the TV booth. Who goes with him as far as a color analyst, whether it's Phil Bork coming from the radio side with him, whether it's Colby Armstrong moving from the pregame host chair into an analyst chair, or a three-man booth with Borky and Colby between the benches. We don't know right now. That seems to be up for grabs. And what that means for us at iHeartRadio, where I still work on occasion, we don't know about that either, because now does Mears hop back over to radio? That's still up for debate at this point.
Yeah, there are a lot of unknowns as in terms of what this channel will look like when it gets rebranded. They also said in the release that it will carry other sports. What will those other sports be? The thing you wrote about the Pirates thing last week, and I find it so strange that they would opt to go to sell their rights back to Major League Baseball and take a 20% cut rather than just doing a deal directly with Fenway to keep the Pirates on Sportsnet Pittsburgh. I don't understand the logic in that. Do you?
Two things from what I've been able to glean. One is they wanted nothing to do with investing any sort of capital or startup operation cost. Anything that cost them money now, they didn't want to put in to a purchase or a reboot of what had previously existed, whether that's hardware, personnel, cameras, any sort of operational charges. I've been told they didn't want anything to deal with that. Okay, so that's one. Two is there's the matter of getting into bed business-wise with a conglomerate in FSG that owns another team in Major League Baseball, which could feel messy from their end. You know, like, are they, they're going to be partnering with the owners of the Boston Red Sox is what it comes down to. And that didn't feel very clean to them. And actually I can understand that more than the first thing.
I agree. The second makes a little more sense. The first thing just seems short-sighted.
Especially since this is a big sticking point, and this is a much bigger conversation, Rob, but the dollars that come in from local TV deals is the single biggest reason why there's such a chasm and a split between the haves and the have-nots in baseball when it comes to competitive balance in the first place.
Right.
You know, like, you're now talking about the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs, the big market teams, the Mets. They have all this cash coming in because they have really good hometown local TV deals. Now the Pirates, for as meager as theirs was in the first place, is going to be 80% of that. They're going to lose 20% off of that. So that's not good. And then You've also, and I wonder from a big market perspective, you know, for all those other teams that I just listed off, and this is what John Arand talked about in our conversation that I had on 105.9 The X, and I turned into a piece that I posted to Trib Live. How long before these big market teams say, wait a minute, hold on for a second. We've got revenue sharing as it is. We don't have a salary cap. So the closest thing that we get to a salary cap is our revenue that we have, we share with the lesser teams. Now you're telling me that Major League Baseball, the entity that we're giving back to, is going to broadcast their games and withhold from them 20%. So that means more of our revenue is going to have to go to them to make up the difference. At some point, the Mets, the Yankees, the Red Sox are going to say, whoa, enough. And then we're going to have a real problem because they're going to start to balk. And then I don't know, the next strike we see in Major League Baseball might be the owners trying to figure out their own thing while the players just wait for that to happen.
Well, and I've said from the beginning, I don't see how you put a Pirates on a broadcast channel and make the money that you're making currently from a cable channel. Broadcast channels don't have that kind of money. You know, both Channel 19 and Channel 22 are airing Friday night football game, high school football games, because they can do those dirt cheap. It would cost a lot of money to get the rights to put on a Pirates game. I don't think either of those stations is willing to spend that money. Maybe they will prove me wrong, but I don't see where the Pirates go if they're not on Sportsnet Pittsburgh. I just don't.
Yeah, I think it's one of those two outlets, but for next to nothing.
Right. Like, I mean, that's what it would have to be.
And there's not necessarily a demand to get them on the same way that there would be for the Penguins, I think, personally.
Right. No, I think you're right. I mean, the Penguins are a more winning team than the Pirates.
The one thing that I wonder about with how things will look now in October, once the deal goes through for AT&T Sportsnet becoming the FSG channel, the Sportsnet Pittsburgh, is what are they going to put on? I mean, the Pirates hold a broadcast block for them from an hour before every game through the game. Then they have post game. Then they replay the game and then they have their post game show on again. So it's like 7 or 8 hours of programming in the summertime that the Pirates just have with their Talking Bucks show that they can plop in anytime they want before or after. I mean, like, there's a huge swath in the summertime of Pirates programming that they're going to have to, what are they going to do? Can they put the Red Sox on?
That's what they're going to do. They're going to pull programming from NESN, the New England Sports Network that Fenway owns.
Rob, this is, and I don't know if they're allowed to do that because of Major League Baseball's
Well, that's true, because there could be market rules. Yeah.
I don't know, but like, for instance, we remember Empire, like when we were at Syracuse together, we could watch Pirate games on Empire up in Syracuse. Mm. Do you remember that?
I, I, I was not watching pirate games, so I don't, but that's okay. No,
but,
go ahead.
But it did happen. I remember watching, right, like they had like 40 pirate games a year for the first 2 years. We were up there when the, I think it was Adelphia. Remember we were on cable?
Oh,
it was
yeah. Adelphia Cable. Yes.
Adelphia,
yes,
picked up Empire. So because Buffalo was the AAA team for the Pirates, we got like 40 pirate games a year.
Interesting.
Which was great for me. Nobody else at Syracuse cared, but I loved it.
Right.
That's when they were good, Rob. Oh, speaking of sports, Ryan Clark of the Steelers, former Steelers, now on ESPN as a new gig.
Yeah, he's hosting Inside the NFL on the CW. Now, I should take pains to mention the CW has now moved. It is no longer on Channel 19. It is now on Channel 22. However, due to a listings error, it shows them still showing My Network TV programming in the 8 o'clock hour Tuesday. That is incorrect. It is going to be Inside the NFL that airs in that hour beginning tomorrow night. So that, and Inside the NFL is a, like, I think 47-year-old show that used to be on HBO and was on Showtime and most recently was on Paramount Plus. Now it's been reconstituted for the CW as they go looking for cheap programming, which it certainly is compared to a superhero drama.
For a while, it was a staple sort of Monday night recap or Tuesday night recap of everything that happened with, you know, big name guys, Hall of Famers that were on the panel. Now you can get that anywhere and everywhere. Right. So it's just had to repurpose itself, repackage itself for what it is. Let me see what else we wanted to get to here. I thought there was one of the, we wanted to talk about was Ashoka, because you wanted me to get my eyes on Ashoka a little bit, which I did.
And what? How many did you watch?
I'm about an episode and a half in now.
Okay.
You're right about the pacing. The pacing is slow. But I didn't find the pacing slow necessarily because of what was happening. The dialogue is really slow. Like there's lots of long pauses. Like, Rosario Dawson thinks a lot before she speaks.
Yes, she does. And her arms are crossed constantly as she's looking down sort of superiorly towards everyone else on screen with her.
Yes, she plays the highfalutin Jedi aspect very, very well. Like what I'm trying to... I think you and I have talked about this with all the Star Wars spinoff shows now and the different worlds and the different interactions, the different people who represent the rebels and the Empire and all that. It's, there are now people who just feel a lot less important to me. You know what I mean? Mm. It's hard to reinvest in her being a very important Jedi. And what's the other girl's name? That got
Sabine.
Okay. Yeah. So she's a Mandalorian. And
yes,
to this point,
yes,
we don't see her in the, does she get in the costume or you're not allowed to say that yet?
I don't think we see her 100% in the costume, but we see her certainly looking at the costume. I can't remember what happened in episode 3, even though I watched it more recently.
Well, episode one, they do that thing where they shoot it behind her desk.
Right. Like, right. So it's like,
she's got the costume stashed there and they got the little Boba Fett. That was actually effective. I kind of like that.
Yes.
That was well done.
And she's clearly part of the sect of Mandalorians that can take their helmets off, not the more orthodox ones who have to keep their helmet on like we've seen in The Mandalorian. She's seems to be more of the Bo-Katan Mandalorian than the Dar-Jin Mando Mandalorian. But
this is just too complicated for me. You know, like the Star Wars, like one of the things about Star Wars was it was beautiful in its simplicity.
Yes.
And we've gotten very dense into the canons and the worlds and the politics and everything else. It's just it feels less about escapism. Now it feels like homework for me to keep up with Star Wars.
A little bit it is. But, you know, I am sticking with it. Unlike the Marvel stuff where I bail really easily, it's hard for me to stop a Star Wars show. So I will keep watching Ahsoka and see where it goes.
Who are the bad guy Jedis exactly? Now, what's the story with them?
So let me think here. They all seem to be in league trying to find Grand Admiral Thrawn, who is a character that was introduced in a Star Wars novel probably 2 decades ago and then was incorporated into some of the animated shows, particularly Rebels, that is sort of, you know, leading into Ahsoka. And so I think by the end of the season, we will definitely meet Grand Admiral Thrawn. He seems to be off somewhere, maybe in another dimension. I'm not sure, at least in another galaxy. So the baddies seem to be trying to get him, but the good guys are also trying to find him because their friend Ezra Bridger, they think may be alive with him. So they want to find Ezra, but prevent Thrawn from coming back. That seems to be the impetus of the mission. But it's like, we keep getting these fits and starts, like we're about to start on the mission and then something happens. We're about to start on the mission and then something happens. And even at the end of episode three, I'm not sure that we've fully started on the mission yet.
I also, as we've talked about many times, get confused with the application of the Force, you know, like when the Force, you know, the selective application of when you can use the Force.
Yes.
Now it's getting into selective application of what happens when you get hit by a lightsaber. You know,
I
grew up in the age where Darth Vader touched Obi-Wan with the lightsaber once, and then he's stomping him out with his own cloak.
Right.
He's
right.
Completely disintegrated.
Yes.
This what's her name again? Sabine. She gets stabbed through the gut and she's still alive.
And that also happened in Obi-Wan Kenobi. The I don't remember what her name was, but there was a character in there who survived a lightsaber as well. And I'm like, when did this become possible?
Yeah. What else did it happen? I thought it happened too in one of the movies, one of the sequel movies. Didn't Kylo Ren get? Oh, no, I'm thinking of when Kylo Ren stabbed Han Solo. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And got him through the gut. And then he died. Yeah. But he also had to fall all the way down the Death Star or whatever.
Right. That thing. Yeah.
All right. So, Rob, one thing locally, what's going on with KDKA in the mornings?
So Erica Moke, who was filling in while Lindsay Ward was on maternity leave mornings on KDKA, is now going to be anchoring the 7 to 9 a.m. news on KDKA Plus, Channel 19, with John Shumway. And then she's also going to do the noon news solo. My understanding is that this is not necessarily permanent, that they are shuffling anchors around as they deal with the vacancy that was created weekend mornings when Brianna Smith departed earlier this year. So this is a for now thing, not a forever thing necessarily, because they have to hire someone for that position and then they can figure out a permanent lineup of anchors. But for now, at least, there will be more Moke in the morning just on KDKA Plus rather than regular KDKA.
That sounds like something you could put on a coffee mug.
Exactly.
Moke in the morning. That's got to ring
100%.
All right, Rob, what do we have coming up for TV Talk and TV Q&A?
So TV Q&A this week, get into that question about will the Penguins be on Dish? And the answer is no, unless they are on some other channel that Dish carries. And then TV or TV Talk, a new Walking Dead, this time in French, Daryl Dixon, which is overseen in large part by McCandless native Greg Nicotero. Do those zombies gurgle with a French accent? You'll have to watch and find out.
All right. And, Breakfast with Ben's, we'll be back at it. First Mike Tomlin press conference on Tuesday. So we'll have our podcast with Joe Rutter after the Tomlin press conference. And we'll also hear from Roxy Bernstein, who is a sports reporter out in San Francisco. We'll give us the update on Nick Bosa and what that means for the Steelers. Game number one between the Steelers and the Niners coming up at Acrisure Stadium on Sunday. I'll be part of the broadcast on DVE starting at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. So be ready for that. This is your weekly Pittsburgh Pop podcast with me, Tim Benz, and Rob Owen. Check us out next week here at Trib Live.